It is natural to feel a little let down the day after Christmas. Maybe it's because, you know, the decorations are going to go back in the box. Maybe a few got broken and all the celebration of yesterday. Maybe your family members weren't quite as excited about the gift that you picked out for them. And they were, you know, a little nonplussed about it. Maybe you're starting to feel a little bit of buyer's remorse and sticker shock as you realize how much you spent and the bills start to come due and you start to get worried about that. Maybe your bathroom scale is getting a little sarcastic and telling you you had a few too many Christmas cookies during the holiday as well. But the question is, how can we avoid the post-Christmas depression and experience the wonder of Christmas throughout the year? How can we avoid the letdown and truly experience the joy of Christmas all year long? The passage we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see that we can be joyful because of the good news of Christmas, because of the message that Jesus brings of hope. We can enjoy and live in that joy throughout the year. This is all part of the story of Christmas. And during this season of Advent, we've been spending time in the book of Isaiah, looking at the prophecies of Isaiah about who the Messiah would be and what he would do. And we've seen that the story of Christmas is a story of hope. It's a story of justice. It's a story of comfort. It's a story of redemption. And it is a story of joy. When we started in Isaiah chapter 9, we saw the divine birth announcement that it's a boy. A child will be born, a son will be given. He will be fully God and fully man. And Jesus Christ will bring light, joy, peace, and hope to our lives. In Isaiah 11, we saw that it was a divine announcement. It's a king. And Jesus Christ will establish a kingdom of justice and of peace. In Isaiah chapter 40, we saw the announcement that it's a shepherd. And Jesus Christ is the shepherd who delivers his people. Last week in chapter 52 and 53, we saw the announcement that it's a redeemer. And Jesus Christ is the Savior who died for our sins. This morning, we're going to see the announcement that it's a celebration. It's a party. And Jesus Christ brings good news to hurting people. So turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61 this morning. As we look at these 11 verses and see the many reasons that are given there why we can enjoy and celebrate the joy of Christmas throughout the year, not just one day a year. So listen as I read from the English Standard Version, and then we'll begin to unpack the passage. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them. They are an offspring that the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is a passage that Jesus read at the beginning of his ministry. As you read through Luke chapter 4, what you see is that Jesus read the first verse and a half of this passage and said, today, this is fulfilled in your presence. What's interesting is he stops partway through verse 2 and he doesn't finish the verse. And in so doing, what Jesus demonstrated is that this chapter, this prophecy, would be fulfilled in two phases. Verses 1 and the first half of verse 2 were fulfilled during Jesus' first advent, when he was born, when he ministered on earth prior to his death. The rest of verse 2 and the rest of the chapter will be fulfilled when he comes at his second advent. In his first advent, he came as Savior. In his second advent, he will come as Lord, as the righteous judge, to conquer. But if you put the whole chapter together, what you see is a number of reasons why we can experience the joy of Christmas all year long. The first reason that's given that we see in this chapter is we can experience the joy of Christmas, because it's good news. Jesus came to bring good news of hope to those who are hurting. Where he said that the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. It says the Spirit of the Lord is on me. It looks to that time when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came out of heaven in the form of a dove and alighted on Jesus, anointed him for his earthly ministry. And what Jesus did while he was on earth was he brought a message of hope to people who lived in darkness, to people whose lives were dry and thirsty. He brought that message that hope is possible. And Jesus brought a message of good news. And we can enjoy that good news each and every day of the year. There's times in our lives where we feel the weight of the world. Maybe it's through family challenges. Maybe a spouse, a parent, a child is not doing well, you know, whether it's physically or emotionally or career-wise or whatever it is. Maybe life has not turned out as you hoped. And there's times where we are brokenhearted, where we carry the weight of the world. Another reason why we can experience the joy of Christmas year-round is because Jesus was sent to bind up the brokenhearted. He was sent to heal the hurts of people. He was sent to help hurting people. It's that message of hope that change is possible. There is hope that we can be transformed. There's hope for struggling marriages. There's hope for people who are suffering from illness. there's hope for endurance through the midst of trials. And Jesus came to bind the brokenhearted. Those that deal with the weight of the world, Jesus came with a message of hope to heal and to transform. There's times where we feel like we are trapped, where we are stuck in a situation. Maybe it's a result of our own poor choices that we decide we're going to do what we want and we're dealing with the consequences. Maybe we have not managed money well and we're struggling under a pile of debt. Maybe it's an addiction issue, whether it's alcohol or drugs or gambling or shopping or pornography or whatever it is. Maybe it's a bad habit that you just cannot break free from. Maybe it's getting stuck in a negative cycle of cynicism and negative and sarcasm and all of that. Well, the good news of Christmas, the joy of Christmas, is that Jesus came to bring liberty to the captives, to proclaim that freedom is possible, that you can break free from past sin. You don't have to be trapped in that cycle forever. And Jesus came to proclaim liberty, that it is possible that we can do that. Verse 2 begins where another reason why we can celebrate and enjoy the spirit of Christmas throughout the year is that Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you ever feel like God smiles on you? That you enjoy His blessing? You know, sometimes we always have the idea that God just looks down to squash any type of happiness. But we can enjoy God's smile. We can enjoy God's favor. And what's interesting about that phrase is that it is always tied with salvation. And it's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross that we can enjoy God's favor. As Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to live under that burden of sin and guilt. That we can enjoy God's smile and God's favor. Verse 2 says He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. That we can also enjoy the joy of Christmas throughout the year, knowing that God is a just judge who will deal with evil, who will deal with judgment at the appropriate time. Now, this is where Jesus stopped in Luke chapter 4. He said, came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is fulfilled. And people were wondering, well, wait a minute, what about the judgment? And that's what's coming at His second advent, when He comes as Lord. What's interesting, though, when you look at this first part of verse 2, is that it's to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance. God's favor lasts so much longer than His judgment does. They're both important, yes, but God's favor and His blessing are so much greater than the judgment that He brings that we can enjoy. Verse 2 also gives us another reason to enjoy the joy of Christmas, is that God comes to comfort those who mourn. Now, many times in Scripture, the idea of mourning is not because of, you know, life is hard and I'm sad. It's I mourn because of my sin. And I wrestle with, I shouldn't have done that. I did it again. And there's times where we wrestle with that and we feel like we are going down for the last time. That I can't break free, I can't get victory, I'm a loser, and Jesus comes to comfort those who mourn. And what he comforts us with is the message that forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is available through the blood of Jesus. And that is a great comfort to know that I've been forgiven. I don't have to deal with the penalty of sin or the weight of sin or the power of sin anymore. And that I can rejoice rather than mourn, because Jesus brings a message of comfort that it is possible, that freedom is there, forgiveness is available. Verse 3 goes on to express the idea to transform mourning into happiness. There's times where we do mourn. There's many that this time of year, holidays are not that happy because of a loved one that passed away earlier. Maybe this year, or maybe even this season or this month. I remember dealing with that in years past when my father passed away. He passed away at the beginning of December. In the first year, Christmas was just kind of not that great because Dad wasn't there. And there's many that deal with that and wrestle with that. And the grief is very real. And what Jesus does is he transforms that sense of mourning and grief into a crown of glory to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that Jesus can transform the pain that we feel into a cause for rejoicing, a cause for blessing, that he can make that kind of a change in our lives as well. The second part of verse 3 talks about the idea that we can rejoice about Christmas throughout the year because God causes us to grow. That he develops and grows righteousness in our lives and in our character so that we can become like a stately oak tree, solid, dependable, rooted, grounded, built up in Jesus Christ. That our character flourishes and blossoms and buds and grows. And there's that kind of growth. And because of that, we can rejoice throughout the year of what God is doing in and through us because of what Jesus does. And it brings glory to him, as the rest of verse 3 says. Verse 4 gives us another reason for rejoicing, is the fact that God can rebuild broken lives. That he'll build up the ancient ruins. He'll raise up the former devastations. He'll repair the ruined cities. God can rebuild what sin has destroyed. He can transform us and rebuild those things that we've lost, to restore those things that we've lost because of sin. There's a unique type of pottery called raku. And what's unique about it is that you take the clay, you form it into the shape, the pot that you want, and then you wrap it in trash. And you put all of that in the kiln, and as it is fired and burned and cured, the trash is burned away, but the pot imbues the color and the minerals from that, whatever it's wrapped in. And so all the pots are a unique, one-of-a-kind design and color because of that. Well, that's what Jesus can do in our lives. He can burn away the garbage, the baggage that we've taken and carried along with us, and cause us to be beautiful, unique vessels that he can use. And we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus rebuilds broken lives. that he rebuilds devastated cities and ruins. Verse 6 says that we can rejoice because we've been given the privilege of being his ambassadors. We are his representatives here on earth. We are his ministers. We are his priests. And the role of a priest was to bring God to the people and bring the people to God. That's the privilege that we have of being able to share the message of hope with those who desperately need to hear it. And we are priests of the Lord to speak of him as ministers of God, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. There's times because of what we have gone through, what we've done, where we feel shame. And verse 7 gives us another reason for rejoicing, that instead of shame, God gives us a double portion of blessing. And he piles on the blessing. When I was in seminary, there was a professor, one of my mentors, Don Sanukian, who preached a chapel message about the idea of the double scoop. You know, your mom or dad takes you to an ice cream store, and you're going to order just one scoop of vanilla ice cream. And they say, no, go ahead, get two, get three. And it's that idea. That's what God does in our lives. It's not just a little bit of blessing, but it's a double portion of blessing. Instead of, you know, one gift at Christmas, you get 10 gifts. And he piles it on. And because of that, we can celebrate the joy of Christmas throughout the year. Because God has blessed us abundantly beyond what we ever ask or think. I mean, that's what Paul said in Ephesians 3. That God piles on the blessings. And it's a double portion of his greatness and his blessing. Another reason why we can celebrate and live in the joy of Christmas is that God's promises are trustworthy, according to verse 8. Verse 8 tells us that we can trust God for two reasons. One is that he loves justice and he hates evil. And second is he has made an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant that cannot, that will not be broken. It's a promise that is unbreakable. And we can celebrate Christmas throughout the year knowing that Jesus can be trusted, that his promises are true, that they'll never be broken because they are everlasting. And a covenant was a binding agreement. And that's what God did with us. He gave us a promise that we can trust, that we can rely on. Another reason why we can celebrate Christmas throughout the year is the fact that we belong to God. We're part of his family. And verse 9 says that when people look at us, that they will acknowledge that we are God's family. We are part of his offspring. We belong to him. We can rejoice in the fact that in a very real sense, we are part of the family of God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when people look at us, they are amazed that these people are different. They've got different family members. They have different parents. That we truly belong to God. Tomorrow is Carol and my anniversary. 41 years. Be a little bit different. Obviously, it's kind of hard to celebrate when we're 3,000 miles apart. And yes, I did have hair at that point. Carol was still a child, but, you know. And the tall guy next to me was my brother, who was half a head taller than me. But on the day of the wedding, we put on our finest clothes. We were decked out. We were buffed and shined and beautiful. Another reason why we can celebrate Christmas is that's what Jesus does to us, according to verse 10. He clothes us. in garments of salvation. He covers us in a robe of righteousness in the same way that a bride and groom get dressed for the wedding day. That's what Jesus does for us. We come to him in rags. And he covers us up with the nicest, the best, the most beautiful garments of righteousness and salvation. And we can celebrate that every day of the year because of what Jesus Christ did for us through salvation. Verse 11 says that in the same way that a garden produces vegetables, in the same way that a vineyard produces grapes or an orchard produces fruit, so God causes righteousness to grow in our lives. And again, we can celebrate Christmas throughout the year because of what God does to help us to grow up and to produce and to live fruitful lives that are productive and make a difference. And it's what he does in and through us to accomplish that. See, we can be joyful every day of the year because of the good news of Christmas. We don't have to limit our joy to one day a year. We can celebrate throughout the year because of the good news of hope for hurting people. See, Jesus Christ is the child who brings hope to the world. He is the king who establishes a kingdom of justice and peace. He is the shepherd who delivers his people. And he is the Savior who died for our sins. And because of that, we can live in the joy of Christmas every day of the year. We can celebrate what Jesus did for us every day throughout the whole year. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the message of hope, for the good news that Jesus brought. Thank you that you transform us, that you forgive us, that you bring peace, that you bring hope, that you heal our hurts, that you rebuild our brokenness, that you clothe us, that you make us righteous, that you cause us to grow up in you. Father, thank you for all of those things, and help us to celebrate that and to live in that joy each and every day of the year. And we commit all of this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Celebrate the joy of Christmas this week, and celebrate the Son.